Matthew chapter 6. Today we're going to talk about what to do while it is called today. While it is called today. And I have, 10 things to do while it's today. Matthew 6, I'm going to start at verse 24. It says, "No man can serve two masters, either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one, or despise the other, and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." It's money. Context, verse 21, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." One of the key to that, verse 22, it's your eyes. Most people who can't handle money can't handle their eyes. I need a vehicle right now. But I can't afford an eight passenger vehicle for my family. But I can't afford a new one. It's $35,000 for a new Suburban. If you've got any extra money and you want to buy something with it, okay. But so I'm not going to go to the Chevy dealer and test drive one. I'm not going to go look at somebody else's and say, "Boy, I wish I had that." Why? Because your heart is affected by your eyes, and you covet. And then you make foolish decisions, and you give your heart to money. But you cannot serve God and money at the same time. I never met anybody who thinks they serve money, but a lot of people do. Nobody thinks they do. Nobody bows down to a dollar bill. nobody thinks they love money. Few people think they love money, but a lot of people, a good amount of people actually do. They just don't know what it means. Look at the word serve. That'll tell you whether you love money. Who do you serve? And if you love money, you serve money. And the people who I've seen who just say, "Well, I just got to work. This is a good job, and I just got to work on Sunday." Okay, you're serving money, not God. "Oh, no, I love God." Okay, so what does it mean? It means only the people who literally physically put a dollar bill down and bow down to it? Or is it people who serve money and put it as their priority? If you don't tithe, you serve money. You love money more than God. Because you won't give God what's his. I mean, that's just... in other words, it's not what you say you do, it's what you serve. And a lot of people in our society serve money as their priority. They'll go with their money over family. They'll take their job even though it's going to affect their family bad. It's bad for their family, that particular, say, schedule, or their family says that we don't want you to work there, and they'll say, I gotta pay the bills. Like there's only one job in America they can work at, you know. Listen, you cannot serve God and money. God meets your needs. Amen. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's not your job that supplies your needs. That's just a place where God has put you to serve him, is that particular business. You got to think that way. That's the way God says it. You go to work, and whether you work at Boeing or Microsoft or Open Door Baptist, you're going to work for God, and you're serving him there. And they just happen to give you a paycheck. But if that paycheck doesn't come in, if you're serving God, your bills will be paid. And if you don't work, you shouldn't eat, the Bible says. I understand you're supposed to work, but you're going to work just to please God. He's going to pay your bills. He's going to pay your bills. And so you can't serve God in money. That's not the sermon, but... that's the context here. "Therefore, because you cannot serve God and money, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." How much thought? No thought. Look at verse 31. "Therefore, take no thought." Verse 34. "Take therefore no thought." Okay, God's going to be pretty clear here. He's pretty clear on this. He says, don't think about it at all. No thought. And he gives us several things to think about. He says, don't think about what you're going to eat. That's pretty hard for us, huh? And no thought of what you're going to eat. Not thinking about what you're going to cook for dinner. It's no thought about, "Oh no, how am I going to feed myself?" Don't think about that. It says don't take any thought for your clothing. Take no thought for what you're going to wear or what you're going to put on, the Bible says. Why? Because God's going to take care of that. You don't need to worry about it. In my life, in what we do our budget, and of course we have bills with a big family and things, but one of the things I do in budgeting my money, budgets is a funny little thing. You write down numbers and figure out math. You don't need it if you have a credit card. And so when we figure our budget, the last thing in my budget is clothing and food, because God says, I'll take care of those for you. He never promised to take care of my insurance bill and anything else. Now he provides all of our needs, of course. But I put those things at the bottom because God says, I clothe flowers and birds. I'll clothe you if you don't worry about it. And God does. And by the way, I find people who live that way and trust God and live by faith, they dress well and they dress miraculously cheap. The sales they get, the things that get given to them are amazing. I mean, they go to the thrift store and somebody didn't even wear it and they put it in there and it's just their size. What's a thrift store? Never mind. It's on the far side of the mall that you didn't get to. But God takes care of them. Or they'll go and they'll go buy some clothes and they'll go to the mall and all of a sudden it'll be 75% off just what they need. And because God's good and God takes care of us. Don't worry about those things. Don't worry about all the economics. Don't worry about your company. Don't worry about finances. Take no thought. I'm not against planning. The ant sets aside in the summer food for the winter. I'm not against that. Have 401k, all that stuff's fine. Social Security probably won't be there for you if you're my age. So nothing wrong with putting money aside. It's not talking about that. It says don't worry. Don't worry about it. I can just tell you, I want you to understand this. If the economy collapses next year and we have a catastrophic world economic collapse, if God is first in your life, you'll be fine. And if your faith is in the government and the businesses, and you think these businesses are all going to be there and the government's going to take care of you all, you aren't good at math. And you're not watching the news. Because there's some things that just might happen. And you better have something bigger than a government that goes into debt $1.2 trillion every year. You got to have something bigger than that. I hope you do. I'm glad that God in heaven doesn't have to print fake money. I'm glad that my God in heaven, if the economy dumps, he's still got streets of gold. So you don't need to worry about it if you're serving God. But if you're not serving God, then you're on your own. Then you better be worrying. Because things happen and your health changes and most people don't have disability insurance and most people don't understand. I work at a big company. Big companies lay off and go under. I mean, you're in a crazy world. I wouldn't serve money. I would serve God and then ask him to provide your needs and then be diligent and work hard. And God will take care of you because you're working hard and being diligent. If you have to flip burgers, it doesn't matter. God will supply your needs. And that's what God says. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, verse 25, for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body what you shall put on. Is life not more than meat and the body more than raiment, more than clothing? The word raiment is clothing. Behold, the fowls of the air, the birds, they sow not, neither do they reap, but nor gather into barns. But your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? The context here, I want you to get it because it's going to be important in a message in the first point here. He says, don't worry about these things because it doesn't make any difference. Which of you, by taking thought, by worrying about it, can add and make himself taller? I'm only 5'4". I wish I was taller. Will you grow because you worry about it? No. I wish I was skinnier. Will you grow when you, will you shrink when you worry? No, we would all be skinny if that were the case. It doesn't make one difference, God says. You're worrying, and you look at the word take no thought, you look at what it means in the Greek, really. The word means don't worry about it. Don't be full of care about it. Don't worry about it. Why? Because it makes no difference. If you worry about getting laid off, your company doesn't say, huh, we have 30,000 worry points. We're going to stay in business. It doesn't do any good to worry. So he says, take no thought. Don't worry. It won't make you any taller if you worry about it. And why take ye thought for raiment, for your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The flowers are beautifully arrayed, but they don't worry. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not he more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things the Gentiles seek, the lost. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows ye need those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. They get put on you. They're added. They're just given to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow, tomorrow, shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. We'll talk about what to do while it is called today. Father, thank you for the word, and I pray today is we'll be studying your scripture, and already you've talked about it and read these verses, Lord, beautiful verses. I pray that the Spirit would be in charge. I pray that we'd be spoken to, Father. We'd love to praise you and sing about the wonderful grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. We'd love to fellowship and shake hands and see each other again and praise you and pray for each other. But Lord, the most important thing is the Word of God. And we pray that would be powerful, Spirit-filled, and you'd speak to us, Lord, and help us to be diligent daily to do the things we ought to every day. And I pray you'd help us and give us wisdom and speak through me, Father. Help all of us to have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. It says right here, you're not supposed to worry. Take no thought of the morrow, there in verse 34. Take no thought for the morrow. That's tomorrow, for the next day. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil, the problems, the troubles of that day. And don't worry about these things. You can't change things by worrying about it. It says don't worry about your clothing. Don't worry about your food. It says you seek God's kingdom first, and all these things will be added to you. And therefore, because all these things will be added to you, don't worry about tomorrow. You can't change tomorrow by worrying about it. You can't. The problems of tomorrow are not going to be fixed because you worry about them. You know, if there is no money in the world and you worry about what you're going to eat tomorrow, the food doesn't appear because you worry about it. So don't worry about tomorrow. God will take care of you if you seek his kingdom first. What you need to do is today seek God's kingdom first. And tomorrow will turn out fine. I want to say, understand this very, very, very important. It's a principle I've learned a lot of years of counseling people, is if you'll take care of today real well, tomorrow will turn out just fine. But if you spend all your time frustrated and worried and angry about tomorrow, by the time you get to tomorrow, tomorrow's a mess. Let God take care of tomorrow. Your job is today. Take no thought of tomorrow. Tomorrow will take thought of itself. And again, I'm not saying don't have any kind of plan. I think it's fine. I think it's fine to make a plan. But don't let it consume you. Figure out how much money you need to retire and have some kind of plan and match your 401k with 6% and do whatever. It's fine. Nothing wrong with that. I don't mind that stuff at all. But if you're relying on that, I think you're both foolish and not relying on God. Because all that stuff can mean nothing. Inflation, you can have massive inflation, and it's not worth much. Oh, my! I got $100,000 in my retirement account. Look at the history of inflation. Real inflation will wipe that out. You don't have anything in this world that's really very solid. You got God, and he's fine. And so, no problem. I think you should plan and be wise and do all that stuff. And when I do premarital counseling before somebody get married, they're going through the ringer of planning. How are you going to do this? 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 What if this happens? What if this happens? And we think this through. I want them prepared for marriage. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying the Bible says, do not worry about how it's going to be there. You worry about serving God today. You trust God. You look to God. You seek God's kingdom first. There's things the Bible gives us, and the Bible is full of daily things. Daily things in the Bible. And I want to just give you some things the Bible says to do every day. So all you got to do is worry about Sunday, June 23rd. But what about, no, don't do that. I want you to get out of that mode. I want you to worry about today. Today. That's all you got to worry about. I will let you worry about tomorrow when it is tomorrow. then you can worry about tomorrow all you want. Whenever you say, okay, it's tomorrow, then worry all you want is fine. But until then, stick with today and worry about today. And because that's what God says to do. Number one, what are we supposed to do? Number one, don't worry about tomorrow. You don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Because the Bible says tomorrow's got enough problems. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. Let me illustrate this to you. Travis, come on up here for a sec. So let's pretend like I'm the Lord. I'm looking at Travis. I know Travis. I know everything about Travis. So Travis came up on the stage here. And I know what he can handle today. So I'm as God. He's serving me with all of his heart. I, as God, know what he can handle. So what I'm going to give him, the Bible says God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. 1 Corinthians 10:13, I believe. God gives you just enough to handle. So God, I prepare for him because he's serving me. I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to work in his life. And I'm going to give him what he can handle. And I look at him and I say, he can only handle 4 songbooks. And there's his burdens he can handle. I'm not going to give him any more burdens. That's his day today. He can handle that today. Amen? Can he handle 4 songbooks? Can you handle that? You okay? Okay. And so there's Travis. Now, I've given him a day. I've given him a day that he can have victory in. I've given him a great day. I've given him a blessing. Tomorrow, there's some problems coming up here. I haven't even fixed these problems yet for him. I haven't worked them out for him. I haven't done anything with these. I've given him today. By the time he gets here, these problems will be ready for him to handle them. I might give him some lessons today that'll prepare him for these burdens tomorrow. I might move those burdens from tomorrow and just fix them. I might do 10 things, but I have not worked that out yet. I've given him today. And by the time he got to today, I'd worked everything out so he can handle it. And every day has enough problems. What we do is God's standing here and says, okay, be real good today. But all he can do is look at tomorrow and his problems. And so what does he do? He comes over and he starts picking up tomorrow's problems and worries. But he's not that strong. And I'm saying, don't take those. I haven't worked that out for you yet. And he tries to pick them up. And pretty soon, guess what happens? He can't handle those. And he starts dropping them all. All. He starts dropping them all. There you go. And I get these people. I can handle this. And we give him this. Why? He drops everything today and he messes up today because he has too many things that he can't handle. Okay, put those back in the box there. I can't handle that. See, here's the problem. Most people are overstressed and medicated and worried and stressed out. You know why? Because they had enough to worry about. And they brought in a bunch of things that they don't need to worry about yet. I love the way God phrased it. Sufficient unto the day is the evil there. I've just put those in the closet. Sufficient unto the day. Doesn't today have enough problems? Listen, if you're sitting around today saying, you know what, I just don't have enough problems today. I need stuff to worry about. I'll loan you some. Are you really wanting to take tomorrow's, what am I going to do? And I love the what if people. What am I going to do if this happens? What am I going to do if this happens? And if this happens? It's like tomorrow, every disaster in the entire world. It's like a Murphy's Law voodoo guy got a little cushion of you and he's going to push every little pin in you tomorrow. What if this happens? And what if this happens? This might happen, but then this will happen. This will happen to me. And you're all worried about what is it? Hasn't even, you're writing a fiction book to worry yourself. With what ifs. Doesn't today have enough problems? In counseling, somebody when they're overwhelmed, so often I can't handle it. I'm just overwhelmed. I can't take everything. And I already know where it's going to go. Tell me what's going on. And then they'll say this and this and this and this. And it'll immediately begin to go into problems for tomorrow. And one of the things I always just stop and do is say, can you handle today? Well, today's fine, but it's going to be a disaster in a week. Okay. Do your best today. Don't, you're overwhelming yourself with problems that God hasn't fixed yet. How can you handle it? Well, today's fine. Today's always fine. God always gives you today. And you can always handle today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't take into consideration your problems. I'm not saying you don't plan. I gotta get a little more money by the end of the month. I'm not saying that. I'm saying don't worry and try to find things God hasn't worked out. Many times in my life, I've looked at something and say, when I get there, I'm not going to be able to handle that or do that. It's going to be impossible. We'll be over our heads. And I would be. Right now, I would be. But I always find if I do what God wants me to right now, when I get there, whatever that was, is worked out. So it's doable now on that day. And it might be the night before, but it'll be doable. Because God says, just worry about today and do well today. Don't get overwhelmed with tomorrow. Take care of today and do a good job today. Give it your best. And that'll help you. So what do you do every day? Number one, every day, don't worry about tomorrow. Amen? How many got enough problems already? You don't need to worry about tomorrow's problems. You don't need to add any to today. Good. Me too. I'm just fine. I'm problemed up. And I don't want to borrow any from tomorrow. I don't want to. They're gonna be a problem tomorrow. Why should I let them have 2 days of my mind? Why should them bother me for 2 days instead of just one? And so number one, don't worry about tomorrow. Number two, what do we do? Today, every day, rejoice every day. Rejoice every day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's a commitment to what you're gonna do today. You know. It's a good day. I know everything's, some of you probably have some burdens today, some problems, some worries. I know some of you have some heavy things, some family situations. I know that, and I care about it, and I have some, a couple little problems myself, and I understand that. But I want to say, there's some things that are good today. You can see right now. You're alive today. This is the day the Lord hath made. God gave us another day on earth to praise him and help people. God made another day. I will rejoice in it. You can walk. You can see. You can talk. You can hear. You're saved. You got a Bible. You got a Christian church to go to. You've got, you may have a good family. You may have people who love you in your life. Not everybody has that stuff. Listen, I've been around the world and I've seen some things that make me think that my life's not so bad here. I've seen some people the way they live. And by the way, if they're saved, I've seen them rejoice and be happy in bad circumstances. I just look and just say, you know what? I'm alive another day. I'm saved. God loves me. I've got so many good things. I don't need to just focus on the bad things. There's bad things out there. You want to focus on bad things, they're out there. You can get grumpy if you want to. You can not rejoice today if you want to. You can find things that are wrong and bad and messed up in the world. You live in a messed up world. Watch the news. You'll find out there's a lot of things to be unhappy about. But you know what? If you'll think on good things and just rejoice because this is the day God made, I'm going to be glad. God made me a day today. He wants me to rejoice. Every single day, can you take time and rejoice in good things? Think on good things like Philippians 4:8 says. Things we should do every day. One, don't worry. Number two, rejoice every day. And that's easy to forget. You know what they talk about at work, right? They ever say, hey guys, isn't it great we're all employed and we have a job and we get a paycheck every 2 weeks? Do they do that at work? Can I tell you, I found out that in general, it doesn't matter the job, 95% of people gripe about it. And man, I've seen some gravy jobs. Overpaid jobs. Guess they still gripe. And listen, every day, go at the end of the day and say, you know what, did I just complain all day or did I rejoice? Every day do that. Number three, what else can we do every day? Number three, pray and give the Lord your burdens. I'm going to be in Psalms for a little while. Pray and give the Lord your burdens every day. You will find your blood pressure going down when you do this. You'll find it's easy to forget and not do these things. Psalm 86 is where I'll be. Pray, cry out to the Lord, give God your burdens every day. Spend some time with the Lord and sharing with God your burdens, your needs. Call upon God. Bible says pray without ceasing. I think that means every day at least. Pray without ceasing. Psalm 86 and verse 3. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. I cry unto thee daily. Psalm 88 and verse 9. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Every day he shared his burdens with God. Every day he cried unto God. Every day he called unto God. You know how easy it is in a busy life to forget to even pray for a whole day? And that's scary. Let me tell you, you need God every day. You need God every day of your life. You need to set aside time to tell God your burdens, to pray for things you need, to praise him for things. Every day you have a prayer life. Every day of your life. Let me say, you can easily go, and some people go days without praying, except for maybe praying over their food. I mean, real pouring out your heart to God daily. It's important. It's vital. It's important we do that. Pour out your heart to God every single day. Is it hot in here? Who thinks it's hot that isn't always hot? Who thinks it's cold? Okay. Just a couple. So it must be just right. You're just, okay, we seem a little out of it today, so I wonder if it's warm in here. And so, good. So every single day, spend time in prayer. You need the Lord. You know, and if you don't make time for it, you don't do it. You got to make time for prayer every single day. Give God your burdens. Call upon the Lord every single day. Spend time in prayer. Fourth thing to do every single day, fulfill your vows. I'm going to read Psalm 61. Fulfill your vows to God. Psalm 61, verse 8, says, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. That I may daily perform my vows. Vows are promises to God. When I started the church, I started out a full-time job and working full-time and starting the church. And so I was very busy and very tired. And it was just draining. And then about 3 years, 3.5 years, I'm not sure, I lose track of it. I found out, you know what, I've got a big tax return coming, the church has grown a little bit, and I think I can go part-time and live for a few months and see if the church can be able to support me. And so I went to my boss and I asked to go part-time, which I lost my seniority and I lost $3 an hour in pay. And then I went down about 25 to 30 hours a week and just worked hard trying to get the church going. And then after about 3 more years of that, I was able to stay part-time and keep on going that way, praise the Lord. But then I saw, you know what, I got another tax return coming. That's a blessing to being poor. And so I think I can quit my job and go full-time ministry, and I got 3 months I can get by with my tax return and where I am financially. But before I did that, I said, God, this is a step of faith. After 3 months, I've lost this good job. I am stuck. I got a family to support. I have 5 kids at the time. I said, and I'm going out. And right now, the church can't support me. And I've got, God, you got to come through. And I really want to be full-time ministry. I want to do the church full-time. And so I made God some promises. One of those promises, I said, God, if you will make it so I don't have to work, I will, every single day of my life, the rest of my life, praise you for that. And I said, I will spend one night, all night in prayer. The first night after I don't have to work. I would work in graveyard anyway, I might as well. And so off I went. And I prayed. And at the end of a few months, the church had grown during that time. And I looked at everything. I said, I don't have to go back to work. I spent all night in prayer with God, and every single day, last night, night before, every single day, I fulfill my vows to God. I have 3 of them. I have 3 things every single day I do with God that I promised him I'd do if he did these things for me. And every single day, I take the time to fulfill those vows to God. God requires them of you. And I think you get God's attention with vows. Now, don't do them lightly. There's a lot in the Bible on it. The Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to say it and not keep it. But these vows, every single day, he says, I'm going to keep my vows to God. And do not forget to keep your vows to God and praise him for that. Other things you're supposed to do every single day. Be with believers. Oh, there's a lot of verses. I'm going to read you out of Acts, but we're going to be at more in Psalms. Every day with believers. Be with believers. Acts 2, 40, 6 says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their bread with gladness and singleness of heart. And it says in Acts 5:42, daily they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You with believers. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Every single day, it's a good thing to be in some contact with believers. Now, we have a lot of ways to do that. We have church on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, we have a get-together. Saturday, we have men's prayer breakfast and witnessing. We have Sunday morning, Sunday night service, Thursday night service. We have a lot of services. But you know, also, you can also be, just call them. Just call. Say, how's it going today? I'm praying for you. I mean, just stay in contact with believers. There's a lot to draw you down. Find some good believers and be friends with them. And they might be struggling, and you might lift them up at the right time, or they might call you. But I want to say, stay in contact with believers. Get fellowship daily. It is a bad thing for a Christian not to be around Christians a lot. It's God's way. And really, if you have a Christian family, you're really blessed because you have them all every day with you. But be with believers. It said that daily they were together. Next, be a witness daily. Acts 5:42 says, and daily and in the temple and every house they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. Psalm chapter 96, be a witness daily. Psalm chapter 96 and verse 2. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Psalm 96, 2, from day to day. Be a witness all the time. We go on Saturdays witnessing as a church, but you know, you can take a track with you every day. You can give someone a track. You can be a witness. You can show forth his salvation by living the life. You can go tell people and try to find somebody. I had a Bible college teacher, one of the most dedicated Christians I've ever met. Very dedicated man. Dr. Laurent was his name. Dr. Laurent was an older guy, and I mean, he was gung-ho for Jesus. He got saved at 40, and he went both feet in, 1,000% for the Lord, and it was a Bible college teacher at college. Dr. Laurent went witnessing every day of the year, 365 days a year. He went on Christmas, on New Year's Eve, on 4th of July, every day of his life he went witnessing. Dr. Laurent would go to nursing homes mostly. He was an older guy. He would go to nursing homes, and every day he'd go to the nursing homes. He would visit people and go witnessing every day of the year. Never miss a day, 100% of the time. Dr. Laurent had a condition, craziest thing in the world, while he's teaching our class. He's telling about this condition. He had this chronic artery clogging thing where everything he ate just went into his arteries and froze. That's it. That's just what he had. And Dr. Laurent, they finally checked him, and he was walking around living, going witnessing every single day, teaching four classes a day. And he didn't feel quite right, so he went to the doctor, and he got done, and the doctor said, it is impossible that you're alive. He says, you have two arteries to your brain in your neck. He said, one is 100% clogged and one is 80% clogged. He said, it's not physically possible you're alive, let alone conscious. And Dr. Lorenz says, he told us, says, you know, God's already told me, the day I stop witnessing, I'm dead. He said, I'm literally walking by a miracle. And he says, it happens all the time. They try to clear it out. He says, it happens around my heart. It happens all the way down my legs. He says, all my arteries clog all the time. He says, but you know what? I can walk and go and work and talk and teach. And he says, the only reason I'm alive, he says, my doctors say I'm physically impossible to be alive. The only reason is because I go witnessing every day and people get saved. He'd come into class the next day. You wouldn't believe it. Yesterday, an 86-year-old lady got saved and received Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Dr. Laurent do that. And he would come in. I mean, 3 or 4 days a week, he'd come in. Somebody had gotten saved in one of his nurses. And he'd just go to all these nursing homes and go in there. Why? God kept him alive. Why? Because every day he told somebody about Jesus. You know, it's a full-time job as a Christian, just always being soul conscious, always looking to help people, always looking for those who need the Lord. Just, it's part of you. Every day, show forth his salvation. And someday, I'd like our church to be witnessing every day of the week. It'd be wonderful if we could get to that point someday. And so that's the thing to do every day. So far, we've said to do every day, don't worry about tomorrow. Rejoice in today. Pray and give the Lord your burdens. Fulfill your vows. Be with believers and be a witness every single day. What else should we do every day? As we hurry along, number 7, study the Bible. It says in Acts 17:11, the Berean Christians were more noble than those of Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily to see if such things were so. This book right here is called Your Spiritual Food. I don't know about you, but if I don't eat for a day, I'm feeling kind of weak. If I don't eat for 5 minutes, I'm kind of wondering about. If I don't eat every day, I get weak. This is your spiritual food. Every day, read your Bible. Every day, meditate in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, Joshua is told, meditate therein day and night. This book ought to be in your hand every single day. You can. Now, we're so blessed. We have our own Bibles. We also can get MP3s. We can also get the thing on iPod. We can go and get it in on your smartphone, on your computer. You can have it playing. We're so blessed. We're so accountable with this technology. We can do so many things with the Bible. And we give you a Bible reading chart so you read your Bible every day. I want to say, to be successful in the Bible, you need to do it every day. Every day, read your Bible. 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 It's a daily thing. They search the scriptures daily. Strong Christians are in the Bible every day, not every Sunday when they go to church. Now, church is good. You'll hear the Bible preached at this church. We'll read lots of Bible to you, and you'll get the Bible at church, and that's awesome. But you know what? You're not at church on Tuesday, and you need the Bible on Tuesday. You're not maybe not in church on Friday. You need the Bible on Friday. Be in this Bible every day of your life. These spiritual disciplines of prayer and Bible reading are very rare, but they make great Christians. And God said that's a daily thing you should do. Meditate therein day and night. Next, what you need to do every day, die to yourself. These next few aren't going to be very fun. Like the first ones, amen? Pretty easy. The next few won't be so easy. Every single day, you're supposed to die to yourself. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if any man come after me, let him take up his deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He says, daily take up your cross. Well, you understand, the purpose you take up a cross for is to go be crucified. He says, take up the thing which is going to kill you. You didn't carry him. Hey, guys, look what I found. No, you carried it to your death. That's what the cross was for. He says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. Every single day. Now, what does that mean? It means that your will and what you want to do and yourself, you die to yourself every day of the year. Every day of the year, you need to go through a process saying, no flesh, you want to do this, I'm going to do this. I'm dying to me and my dreams. I'm dying to what I want to do. I'm dying to what I like doing. I'm dying to me. And it's tough. You have to deny yourself, it says. You know how rarely we deny ourselves? Think of how rarely you deny yourself in food. How often do we fast? How often do we say, you know what, I really want this. But just to die to myself, I'm going to order this that I don't like very much. That got a lot of amens. One of the ways I've died to myself is I will go in and I'll take a cold shower. Say, you know what? My body doesn't want this. My flesh doesn't want this. I'm turning on the cold water. Boy, that's not easy. Sometimes I want to go this way, and I'll say, you know what? I'm just not dead to myself. I'm going to go this way instead. The Lord sometimes will help me die to myself. He'll say, go apologize to that person. I say, I don't even want to talk to him. Or God will say, go talk to those people over there. And I'll say, I don't want to talk to anybody. And God will say, die to yourself. And I have to die every single day. You die to yourself. I don't feel like reading the Bible. That's nice. Read your Bible. Die to yourself. I don't feel like being nice to them. That's fine. Die to yourself. Be nice to them. I don't feel like going to church. That's fine. Die to yourself. Take up your cross daily. Paul says that every single day. Paul says, I bring my body into subjection every day, he says. I keep under my body. And he literally used those words, I bring it into subjection every day. Sometimes God will have me swallow my pride and somebody will be wrong about something and I want to correct them and God will say, don't correct them, let them think they're right. And I'll go, Sometimes I'll have $5 and I can't wait. I'm on the way home, I'm buying something with it. I already got it planned out. And the Lord will say, go give it to them. And I give it to them and they go charge it. No, but then you go and you die. Every single day, you got to ask yourself, am I dead to myself? Am I willing right now, if God calls me to Zambia, am I ready to go? Am I dead to myself? If I need to go and anything God needs me to do, am I dead and God's living in me? Every day, die to yourself. That's hard to do. That's not what most Christians do. That's not what many people do. But God says every single day, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. Daily and follow me. Next. Oh boy, you're not going to like this one. Forgive daily. Forgive daily. That's our memory verse. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I don't know why it feels good to be mad at somebody, but it does, doesn't it? It just feels good. Oh man, I hate them. And you just play over your mind what they did wrong and how you want to tell them off. And the Bible says, don't let that sun go down upon your wrath. You ever want to give them the cold shoulder and just, if it's your spouse, you just want to roll over in bed and not answer him? You ever just want to say, but the Bible says, don't let the sun go down. Every single day. Why? Because anger in your heart, when it's not dealt with every day, becomes bitterness. And the Bible says bitterness defiles you. You can get angry, but that anger left to itself is like meat sitting out. It starts rotting. And that little anger that we just like, you got offended. And boy, I've seen people with a little angry about a little thing, but they didn't deal with it. And pretty soon it became huge and inflated and started affecting their whole life. And they started thinking about it all the time. And they started being angry about it all the time. And they started lying to themselves about what the person meant and said. And they just start making up things in their mind. And you talk to a bitter person, you're like, what are you talking about? I forgot to say hi to you last week, and now you're saying I want to kill your family. What's wrong with you? Why? Because it became bitter, and bitter makes you absolutely illogical and makes you pit yourself against that person and think everything they're saying, they mean something by it. And they're trying to get you, and they're going, I'm not even thinking about you. But you're bitter. You let the sun go down upon your wrath, and that anger starts turning to rotten bitterness, and bitterness makes you hateful and makes you want to get revenge. And makes you think about it all day and makes you not think clearly. And I've said before, when you're bitter, you don't think right. You think crazy thoughts about people and you're not even thinking logically and you ruin relationships forever. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Even if they don't ask forgiveness, you can forgive them in your heart. You can get rid of your wrath in your heart. And many times a couple will live there and for weeks and weeks and weeks, they'll just keep on snipping because they still got that one little offense that happened. My prediction is I forget everything. Somebody comes apologizing to me. You know, I'm so sorry I did this. You did? I forget everything. It's wonderful to have short-term memory loss. You never offended anybody. Oh, you keyed my car yesterday? Really? That's what happened. You watched me do it. Oh, that's the height. I forgot. And it makes it easy to forgive everything. And listen, don't hold on to things. Every day, you can call people and say, will you forgive me? Or you can just say, you know what? They wronged me, but I'm not going to go to bed tonight till I'm not angry in my heart anymore. The Bible commands you to do that. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Forgive every single day. And lastly, respond to the Lord speaking every day. I'm going to read out of Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3 and verse 7 says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 15, while it is said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Hebrews 4, verse 7, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is written, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So you hear the message today, and maybe God spoke to you about praying every day, and God tapped in your heart, and you heard his voice. And you say, yeah, I should do that. but you don't deal with it today when God's spoken to you, you'll be saying that again in 6 months because you won't do anything about it. God speaks to you about forgiveness today and you got some bitterness and you say, yeah, that'd be a good idea, but you don't deal with it. And all of a sudden, it doesn't get fixed because you know why? You forget. 1,000 other things come into your mind. The moment God's touched your heart and it's tender is the time to say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to fix that thing. God speaks to your heart today if you hear his voice. I'm going to say most importantly of everything else I'll say, everything else I've said so far is if you hear God's voice calling you to eternal life, to being saved, to salvation, if you don't know if you're going to heaven when you die, if God calls you today and says it's time to be saved, today's your day, you don't know you're going to heaven, then you better respond today because you may not have tomorrow. You don't have any guarantees of tomorrow. Don't think I'm going to get saved someday. No, you have no guarantee of tomorrow. Take no thought of tomorrow. When God touches your heart, whether he's speaking to you about getting right with him or whether you need to become a Christian and be saved today and you don't know heaven's your home, today is the day. Not tomorrow. Not someday I'm going to become a good Christian. Someday I'm going to fix my family. Someday I'm going to forgive. Someday I'm going to start praying. Someday I'm going to start reading my Bible. No, today is the day. Today is the day. D.L. Moody, I heard this story one time. D.L. Moody was walking across the street. This is 1870s. And D.L. Moody's walking across the street. And he's walking across the street in the middle of the road. All of a sudden, he just stopped and bowed his head. And there was a wagon with horses coming straight toward him. And he just stood there with his head bowed and eyes closed. And somebody ran out in the road and grabbed him around the shoulder and pulled him across the road. And he just kept his head bowed and eyes closed and walked with them. The horses went by, they were very close to him. They wouldn't have been able to stop in time. And finally, after a moment, he opened his eyes and looked up. And the man said, Mr. Moody, don't you understand? You stopped right in front of a bunch of horses there, and you almost got killed. And D.L. Moody said, I just felt a shadow come between me and the Lord, and something I needed to get right, and I couldn't wait another moment to get right with God. And that kind of tender heart, okay, maybe you could walk to the end of the street, but how about every day? How about not going any longer with this same anger at somebody or bitterness? How about praying and reading your Bible every day? How about not taking tomorrow's burdens and bringing them in today? How about having a great day today? This might be the last church service you ever go to. This is the most important Sunday there ever will be. Today is the day. You can have a great day today. What about? Stop the what about thing. How about today you just say, I can breathe. Good air out there. Matter of fact, it rained last night. It's nice and clean. You know what? There's somewhere in the gray stuff, there's a mountain over there that's beautiful. There's trees around. I can walk. I can see and hear. I'm saved. God loves me. You know, I can handle today. This is the day God's made. I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm going to read the Bible today and pray today. Come back to church tonight at 6 p.m. I have a great day today. Can you handle today? Can you be a good Christian today? Can you forgive people today? Can you just have a good day today? Pastor, I can do it today, but you know, I just never stick with anything. Okay, just do it today. And I'll never make you do it on tomorrow. Just only do it when it's today. And just be a good Christian on today's. We'll give you all tomorrow's off. Okay? But when it's today, have a great day and be a good Christian. Tomorrow, take it off whenever it gets to be tomorrow. Okay? Because if you just do it one day at a time, you can have victory. If you let, what am I going to do? Stop. You get overwhelmed because you keep on saying, what am I going to do in a month? What about when I get married? What about when I have the kids? What about when I get sick? Stop. How about you be a good Christian today? Tomorrow we'll have enough problems when you get there. Just be a good Christian today. Love the Lord today. Rejoice today. Have a good day today. Quit letting the devil make you miserable because of what's going to happen in your future. You're so full of worry about the future. You're so full of stress. No wonder You're not digesting and sleeping well, and your neck's tight and your shoulders are tight because you're so stressed out because you're, what's going to happen? Stop. You're fine. You're sitting there right now in a good church. You just heard the Bible. God loves you. You got a handsome pastor to look at. I mean, life's good. You able to get up and walk out of this church in a moment? Lord willing. Sure, just say that. A meteor hits us. And relax. Life's good. Lunch is coming. If I ever finish. And you get to come back tonight and hear a good sermon on what makes it the tabernacle, the church of the house of God. And you'll come back at 6 p.m. and have a great... Pastor, okay, I can come tonight, but I can't come every Sunday. That's fine. Only come when it's today to Sunday night. Next Sunday, you don't have to come to church. Just when it's Sunday, come Sunday night. I can't do it every week, but I can do it this week. That's fine. Fine with me. Just do it this week. Just be a good Christian today. Just enjoy today. Live in today and praise God for today because you have no guarantee tomorrow's coming. But I'm going to be a great Christian tomorrow. Yeah, and you're going to start Procrastinators Anonymous too someday. Today. Do these things God gives you. Let's pray. Father, help us have a good day today. Help us to do the things we ought to today. Help us to quit saying we're going to do the things someday. Help us to rejoice. Help us to forgive, and not let the sun go down upon our wrath. Help us to pray and be with believers and study your word, Father. Help us not to worry about tomorrow today. Lord, help us to have a good day, one day at a time, the way you designed it. Give us this day our daily bread. That's all you promise us. Daily bread. That's what the prayer is supposed to be. Not provide for our retirement and provide for us for the next 10 years. Bread today is good, Father, and you give it to us. That's what we should pray for is today enough food. I pray today, Lord, we'd learn that. And I pray today if we hear your voice, we'd respond to it. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Now, what I just